Thanks for listening to the best of the Ben Maller Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 2 to 6 Eastern, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And to find your local station for the Ben Maller Show at foxsportsradio.com, you can find it there. Or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the best of the Ben Maller Show on Fox Sports Radio.
We have trade action in the NFL. It is not a rumor. There's no reason to bury the lead and sit here and pretend like we want to break down a Bucks-Pacers game or that high-scoring Brooklyn Nets-Cleveland Cavaliers game. Now, we don't need to do that. We don't need to sit here and pretend like we're not going to live a lie. We're not going to live. We're going to live in the real world is what we're going to do. And we've got a trade of note, one of the immovable objects of the offseason, packing up the Mayflower truck and heading out west. It's all about Joe Flacco. If you've been in a cave somewhere, you've been hiding out, living in your shoebox, and you missed it, it's a bad job by you. But the Broncos have apparently won the booby prize of the NFL offseason already, and it's very early. We haven't even started the actual process or process, shall we say, but the congratulations to the Broncos. They are the winner. They get the short straw, and also the long-in-the-tooth quarterback, Joe Flacco, from the Ravens, in exchange for a reported fourth-round draft pick. A fourth-round draft pick for Joe Flacco. What the hell is wrong with him? All right, so let's talk about this. Now, there's a lot to it. It seems like there's not that much to it, but there's a lot to it. Now, Denver, if you're a Bronco Kool-Aid drinker, and I know some of those people that I deal with, the Broncos had a couple of fourth-round draft picks. So they're going to send one of them to Baltimore. So they'll still have a fourth-round draft pick. But the move not going to be kosher until the new league year opens. I know you're very concerned. Like, for me, the new year starts on January 1st. But for the NFL, the league year starts March 13th. So mark your calendars. We have a month to go. A little less now. It's February 14th, Valentine's Day show. Very romantic here at Fox Sports Radio. All right, so let's discuss the question. What is the reaction to the Broncos' John Elway going all in on Joe Flacco? All right, you've got Saddam, the pea shooter, and Spider-Man. And we will tie all these things together. Now, I'm going to be completely honest with you. I'm not pulling anyone's chain here. When I first got a text message, hey, the Broncos are trading for Flacco, my response was, that's funny. Ha, ha, ha. I could only wish that was the case. And voila! It wasn't a joke. I thought someone was pulling my chain. When I got a message that the Broncos were trading for Joe Flacco, I said, no way. No way. I mean, what kind of bath salts are the Broncos front office guys on to trade for Flacco? John Elway has done it again. The Broncos are the talk of football. They've gotten Joe Flacco, Mr. Elite Quarterback. Congratulations. Ha, 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 ha. Everyone's laughing and pointing their fingers at you. It is one of those things. And it destroys the entire franchise. Joe Flacco destroys everything around the Broncos. Done. It's over. Give up. Raise the white flag. Concede. Defeat. You've lost. Give your concession speech right now. Buzz kill. It is. It's a buzz kill. It's not even about what you gave up. It's embarrassing to give up a fourth-round pick. Keep in mind that my guys in Baltimore tell me that the Ravens front office was laughing at the Broncos because they were going to release Joe Flacco, and the Broncos could have signed him for nothing, and they gave a fourth-round pick for a guy that you could have gotten for free. Yet again, John Elway continues to have the Saddam touch. Now, you might have heard of the Midas touch, but the Saddam touch is the obvious, it's the yin to the yang of the Midas touch. The Midas touch, everything you touch turns to gold. That's the Midas touch. The Saddam touch, well, that, you ruin everything. Now, again, I have no skin in the game. I don't. You know, my teams win. I'm a fan of winners. Teams that get to the brink of championships, those are the teams I like. No rooting interest for the Broncos. at all. I don't. But I'm depressed for those friends I have that are Broncos. All right. Denver's offense is doomed. They might as well be condemned, and the offseason hasn't even started. As our friend Andrea in the Bay Area would say, Mercury is always in retrograde when John Elway's acquiring a quarterback. It's mind-boggling. I mean, what a sucker's play. And this idea that, well, change of scenery. It's going to be a change of scenery, and that'll do Joe Flacco some good. He's going to have a career renaissance in the Mile High City. Wrong. Joe Flacco could mushroom with the Broncos, but if he does mushroom, you know what it's going to be? A mushroom cloud is what it's going to be. It's going to be like when you're out in the woods and you're not supposed to eat the mushrooms because some of them are poisonous, and you take your chances and it turns out you're dead because you ate poisonous mushrooms. That's what this is. So the only logical conclusion is that John Elway is trying to get the number one pick in the 2020 draft. Shout out Tua Tagovailoa. Roll Tide. Roll them Tide. Now, part B of this, some of the chatter early on, and who knows what's true and what's not, but we'll just pretend it's all true. Some of the noise said that Vic Fangio, that this was his decision. It wasn't John Elway. It was Vic Fangio that had handpicked Joe Flacco as the quarterback he wanted. He's the new coach. You know what? If that's true, and there's a chance that's accurate, if I'm John Elway and I have acquired Joe Flacco because of Vic Fangio, you know what I do? I fire Vic Fangio. That is a fireable offense because this man is a terrible judge of quarterbacks. They've outdone themselves. Now, listen, there's a parade of suckage that has come through Denver at the quarterback position in recent years. And Case Keenum is not good. You're making Case Keenum. When you get Joe Flacco, you want now Case Keenum to play. That is where Case Keenum's a better option than Joe Flacco. Case Keenum's a serviceable quarterback, not very good, below average, but not at the bottom. And now the Ravens have managed to, or the Broncos rather, by making this trade with the Ravens, they have managed to downgrade the quarterback position. You think about the AFC West now, and you project ahead. Who knows what's going to happen in the offseason? But usually these teams are trying to keep up with the Joneses, right? You know, keep up with your neighbors and all that. Forget the Hatfield and the McCoys here. The Raiders, they're a lost cause because God knows what's going on with them. They're in a holding pattern waiting to land in Vegas. You got Patrick Mahomes, long-range missile launcher in Kansas City. You got that. You got Phillip Rivers, who disappears in the playoffs, but he's got a bazooka during the regular season. And the Broncos now are like, you know what? We got a nice pea shooter. We're going to take our pea shooter out there, and we're going to take down the bazooka and the long-range missile launcher is what we're going to do. Man, you talk about the word is also snake bit. Man, oh, man, oh, man. All right, now, the last thing on this, last word. Now, if you're looking for an upside, because there is a positive to every negative here. The Denver Broncos now have cornered the market on stopgap quarterbacks. Joe Flacco and Case Keenum duking it out for now. Speculation that Keenum will be traded, which is another mistake for the Broncos. Denver is collecting. You know, a Band-Aid, like when you were a kid, you'd put like a Spider-Man Band-Aid on or something like that. When you were a kid, you had a boo-boo, you'd put a Spider-Man Band-Aid on. The Broncos have a whole quarterback depth chart of Spider-Man Band-Aids is what they've done. They've collected them. It's my goodness. It's kind of like when the choose from Keenum and Flacco is like when you were a kid and your mom told you or your dad said you either have to eat the cauliflower or the broccoli, but you got to pick one. And you're like, well, I don't really like cauliflower and I hate broccoli. And they said, no, you have to do it. So $28.5 million in salary cap space. Right now, Keenum likely will not be there, but that is what the Broncos have tied up. And you would rather have Case Keenum than Joe Flacco. Flacco is 34 years old. He is injury prone, right? Injury prone. Not making that up. You know this, right? Problems with his back, his hip. You know, do the old the bone song. Everything's been wrong there. ACL injury a couple years ago. And Joe Flacco, while he's immovable, clearly he's not because he got traded, he is immobile. He has to stay in the pocket or he gets curb stomped by opposing defensive players. And also a one-hit wonder. Had that out-of-body playoff run for the Ravens and the planets all lined up. And he got paid. Joe Flacco got paid. And the Ravens got played. Since the Super Bowl, Flacco is one game above 500. He has below-average numbers across the board. And in 2018, Joe Flacco was serving up slop by the gallons. It was like you go to Walmart and you get a big drum of slop. And it was the Flacco brand of slop. Not the Kirkland brand, the Flacco brand. And the Ravens benched him for a running quarterback that can't even complete a forward pass. Lamar Jackson, sideshow, is now the Ravens quarterback. But just to back up my point, to prove that I'm not just talking out of my tuchus here with Joe Flacco, what is my evidence? What is my evidence with Flacco? Let's go to the numbers. And if you look at the numbers, Joe Flacco this past year was 29th in quarterback rating, 29th in quarterback rating, 30th in yards per attempt. He was actually behind Case Keenum in average yards per attempt, 6.5 yards per attempt, 30th in completion percentage, behind Case Keenum in that category also. Now, I've heard some who follow the Broncos claim that Flacco, at least he's going to cut down on the mistakes. That the biggest indictment and the reason to crucify Case Keenum was the medley of mistakes. I've heard that. All right, let's look at that. Joe Flacco made 172 what's known as bad plays, right? Interceptions, fumbles, sacks, incompletions, negative plays, bad plays. He had 172 in only 9 games. Okay, that works out to an average of 19.1 per game. That's a pretty high number, 19.1 bad plays per game from your quarterback. For comparison's sake, Case Keenum in Denver last year had 281 bad plays. That's more, right? 281 is a lot more. It's, if I use Mallard math, it's more than 100 bad plays than Joe Flacco had in Baltimore. But here's the rub. Case Keenum did it. He played all 16 games, which means he averaged 17.5 negative plays per game, Case Keenum. So if you break it all down, that means Joe Flacco, 1.5 more bad plays per game over the course of a 16-game season, which Flacco rarely plays all 16 games, but let's just, for S and giggles, let's pretend he did, that would be 24 more mistakes, 24 more bad plays over the course of a season, which kill you. Way to go, John Elway. Way to go. Right, we say hello to Edmund Dallas Steamboat Willie. Judas Solid Gold Garcia, right over there.
Yeah, well, as a fan of a team in the AFC North, I have gotten to see a lot of Joe Flacco over the years, and
I'm sure you'll be very kind here. And you know, yes,
whoa,
uh oh, the mic's
on
that? There.
Did you see that?
I wasn't me, man. What was that?
There's these springs that are attached to the
microphone. Are you having mic issues also?
No. There's these springs that are attached to the mic, and one of them just broke.
It broke.
And it just, Eddie. It's like hanging and dangling.
Oh, my God.
I have to hold on to the microphone,
Eddie,
right now.
Your take was so hot, Eddie. You broke the mic, Eddie. Your Joe Flacco opinion was so amazing.
I didn't even give my hot take yet.
It's either that or the...
Was about to absorb my hot take.
Well, it's either your hot take or the equipment's 30 years old. It's either that. I don't know which one it is. You decide.
I did have a witness to it, though. One of the interns was watching.
Really?
I
like this intern. I don't know this intern, but I like the guy. Yeah. Most of these interns are gone right away. This kid's still here. This kid's going to make it in the business. Most of these interns are gone right by the time Jason and Harmon leave. This guy's still here. This guy's going to make it. Right, Eddie?
Yeah,
yeah. Most of these Weasley interns leave right away.
He's too incompetent to get it all done in a lot of time.
Also, yeah.
I'm not sure.
He works too slow, which makes him qualified to work here. Yeah. Go ahead, yes.
So anyway, I heard about this trade. I think you said this is not true. I wish it was true, but
yeah,
it's not
true. When I got text, I said, no, that's not true. I wish that was.
When I
great.
Saw this, I thought, my God, John Elway is either a complete and utter idiot or he's got the biggest balls in the world. By the way, he could be both. You could still have big balls.
Well, you can examine his manhood, Eddie.
Yeah.
I will choose not to. But I
think he's put his job on the line and has put it in the hands of Joe Flacco.
No, he's bulletproof. They're not going to make a change.
I don't think he's bulletproof.
They would have already gotten rid of him.
If Joe Flacco falls on his face, which is likely, then John Elway is going to be fired. And to put your job in the hands of Joe Flacco.
He's a Denver legend. I would have fired him already.
Yeah, legends, that only goes so far.
Yeah. And let me tell you something. You know, people call me a bad guy. Imaging makes fun of me here, Eddie.
Who says such
people
things?
People goof on me all the time here.
I don't know. And anybody I don't understand.
They say I'm a bad person. I try to do the right thing. All right. I really felt bad for Koopaloop. I sent my condolences to Koopaloop.
Did you?
I did. I sent my condolences.
That was nice of you.
And you know what he did? He said,
what did he do?
He said, now you say better than Keenum.
No. He then. Coop, you did not say that.
He said that. And then he attacked me on social media.
Oh, no.
He called me a troll. These are very hurtful things, Eddie. I tried to do the right thing. I tried to be positive, and I get pushed back.
I'm wondering what NFL you guys are watching where you think it's apparent that Case Keenum is better than Joe Flacco.
The one where he was in the NFC Championship game a couple years ago, and Joe Flacco got
Case Keenum never been to a Super Bowl?
Case Keenum didn't lose his job to Lamar Jackson.
That's embarrassing, Coop.
No, lost his job to Joe Flacco.
Flacco sucks.
He's terrible.
So that ruins your point. If he sucks so bad, then Case Keenum must suck. All of a sudden, you guys are huge Case Keenum fans.
I'm not a Case Keenum fan. I'm just telling you, I watch Joe Flacco play a lot, and he's terrible.
I watch Case Keenum play a lot. He's also terrible.
Okay, he's slightly less terrible than Joe Flacco.
No,
he is. Trust me,
he is.
Joe Flacco is garbage.
Joe Flacco has won a Super Bowl.
Joe Flacco... He hasn't been good since he won a Super Bowl.
This is the problem. No, this is Coop's championship.
When did Case Keenum ever get? Who should the Broncos have gone after? Tell me what the right move
John
would have been.
John Elway won Super Bowls. Why don't they put John Elway in there?
What would the right move have been?
Nothing.
Not to sign John Flacco.
Keep Case Keenum.
Not
if this
to
is
trade
the
for
option,
Joe Flacco was
you
the
keep
move.
Case Keenum.
It was a fourth round pick that they got for Demaryius Thomas.
That's a big draft pick, a fourth round pick. I'd rather have a dead body than Joe Flacco. All right? Come on. Listen, I know you're a Kool-Aid Bronco drinker. I understand that. I get your position. But let's play a game, Eddie. How many weeks in the Broncos season before Coop says, you know what, you're right. You guys were right. I was wrong. I had the Bronco-colored glasses on.
I'm going to go four.
I'm going to go less. I'm going to go three. I'm going to go 3 weeks, then Koopaloop's going to say, you know what, you're right. This is unbelievable. Coop, this is not a hill to die on, Coop, with Joe Flacco. It's not. Just admit, take the loss. Take the L.
Well, he loves John Elway, clearly. I mean,
I know he does.
I'm not sitting here saying, oh, yeah, we're Super Bowl bound, baby. But to say that it's like obvious that Keenum is the better choice, that's ridiculous.
It's obvious.
That is ridiculous.
Blind Scott, who hasn't watched a football game in years because he's blind, even he sees this.
Dick and Dayton also.
Yeah, even Dick, who doesn't even watch the games, he just comments on them on the radio.
Joe Flacco has a ton of playoff wins.
Oh, my God, Coop, you are so...
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
He's not any good
Case Keenum, when did Case Keenum ever have him? He had one year.
Are you saying it's incapable for a quarterback who has won a Super Bowl in the past of being worse than Case Keenum?
I'm comparing the two guys.
I'll give you that his resume of his career
is better than
Case Keenum. But we're talking like right now, who's a better quarterback? It's not Joe Flacco.
Right. Joe Flacco played 9 games last year.
And got benched by a guy that can't complete a forward pass.
He got hurt.
Boy. Oh, yeah. Okay, All right. And what happened when he got healthy and they didn't play him?
I don't know. Look at their stats, too. You can talk about resume and accomplishments, but look at their stats.
What are you talking about? Yes, Case Keenum's been better than Joe Flacco.
No, he hasn't.
Yes, he has.
No, he has not.
You want to fight? I'll fight. Let's go outside. Let's fight right now. Case Keenum's been better. And I'm going to prove.
Why? Because you took the 9-game sample size
and spread it over 16 and made up these. I will give you the numbers. I got the numbers.
Eat a fist.
My goodness, look at the time.
Wow.
We still got over 3 hours to do this.
I think this should be one topic radio, Eddie. I think we... No? All right.
I think this is hilarious. You're getting... super worked up about it. You're about to blow a gasket.
I'm not,
because
I'm fine. I'm going to prove. I am going to prove
that you put so much into my teams.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, you just. Yeah.
Hey, by the way, the Lakers
live
blow.
And breathe.
Hey, the Lakers still have a losing
about
record.
My teams.
Yes, I do.
I'm glad I'm such an influence on your life.
I'm on time, Maller. I gotta go.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
So the NBA season winding to a halt. There'll be a couple of games coming up on Thursday night, and then that is it. See you later. Goodbye. All-star break. These guys are so grueling. You know, you're pumping oil and all these fine resources out there in the oil fields. So these guys need time off. So they got a week off in the middle of the season. So happy. I was worried about you. My favorite NBA players I'm worried about. We got a story. Boy, do we have a story. Now, Russell Westbrook, hanging out in the shadows of the Dust Bowl in Oklahoma, putting up monster stats. Basketball wonks, when they look at Russell Westbrook's basketball reference page, it's orgasmic. They're aroused, right? I mean, it is amazing the numbers he puts up. 21 points a game, 11 rebounds, 11 assists a game. Oh, my God. Third consecutive year he's averaging a triple-double. The only player other than Russell Westbrook to average that for one season was Oscar Robertson, but Russell Westbrook's trying to do it 3 years in a row. It is a stat-stuffing medley, an oil painting. Very few highlight the shortcomings of Russell Westbrook. It's out there, but it's not that loud. Now, Westbrook, he gave a State of the Union address for him. In his surly, angry way, Russell Westbrook said that he is he's been disengaged from the conversation surrounding his performance. But he tunes it out, and he says he's been like this since he started playing basketball as a child. About that. Now, I think we have some audio on this, and it's always dangerous. When you go to the audio, you might play the right audio. You might play the wrong audio. You don't know. You have no idea. So I don't know which sound bites we have, but we'll find out. Here we go. Let's see here. I have no idea. We're doing this blind. But here's Russell Westbrook. Here we go. Let's listen.
With your game this year, there's so much talk about the shooting, but then the other things you do to make up for all that sort of stuff. There's so much conversation about it. Do you totally disengage from that stuff? Do you hear what people say?
I've been disengaging that conversation since I started playing basketball when I was 8.
Is that hard to do?
Nah, I've been blessed with a title to not to give a so.
All right. There you go. I don't give an F. F you, F you, F you, F you. There you go. All right, so let's talk about this. Now, the question is, do you believe that Russell Westbrook actually does not worry about the critics? No. I don't know anybody. Of course he's lying. Russell Westbrook's lying. You know he's lying right to your face. All right, now my take on this, you've got human nature trolling like that weasel from Canada that called last hour, and Google. And we will line all this up like dominoes. And when you line up dominoes, you got to knock them down. That's what you do. Knock those dominoes down. You clean them up. Now to lead off with, Russell Westbrook clearly wants you to believe that he is above the normal mortal, that he does not listen. He blocks out the noise. I'm not buying it. Are you buying it? You shouldn't buy it, right? You shouldn't buy it. Why? Because after saying that he doesn't listen to the critics, now later on in that media scrum, Russell Westbrook then rolled off a bunch of complaints that his critics have made about him over the years. They've criticized his shooting, his passing, his dribbling. He dribbles too much. He makes poor decisions. And he went through the whole laundry list of things the critics have said about him. And he said he has to fight through the criticism his whole life. Well, if you disengaged when you were 8 years old, why would you have to fight through the criticism? Because you weren't listening to the criticism. It doesn't pass the smell test. It is human nature to tune in to everything. You want to hear positive things. You'd rather hear positive things. You know, there are six characteristics that every man, woman, and child share. It's human nature. One of them is the word vanity. Right? Vanity. And unless Russell Westbrook is some kind of cyborg in his life outside of basketball, he is completely aware of what's going on. He might not be locked in every second, but I can promise you that he's getting fed information. Humans, by their very nature, we are all gossipy. We like to gossip about what's going on at work. We like to gossip what's going on with our neighbors, with our friends. We want to gossip about all that. You say, well, men don't do that. Women, oh, yeah, everyone does it. Shut up. Everyone does it. In different ways. We do it in different ways. Maybe it's not as transparent. You know, some guys like, oh, no, I don't. You gossip. We gossip. All we do is gossip about these idiot athletes who are doing in their lives. We're gossiping, and you're listening to it. So you like gossip. Deal with it. This reminds me, though. Years ago, there was an all-star baseball player, and he had been a star with the New York Mets, and he also played with the Dodgers. And he got into my face in the clubhouse. He was very upset with me. He confronted me over the things I was saying about him on the radio. He was offended that I was saying these things. And his quote was, and I'm paraphrasing this, but his quote was, I don't care what you say about me. I don't listen to sports radio. Now, instead of that being period stop, the quote continued. He said, I'm not a listener. However, my wife and my family have heard what you've said. We don't like it. It's like Russell Westbrook can try to be the boy in the bubble, but that doesn't mean his family and his friends aren't listening. I don't even think there's that much noise. Come on. Now, furthermore, my theory on this particular rant by Russell Westbrook, I am going to go put my tinfoil hat on. What I'm going to do. I'm doing it right now. Russell Westbrook, what he was doing here was trolling. He was trolling. Who was he trolling? Who do you think he was trolling? Who is the biggest, how do I say this with being, well, I don't have to be polite, cupcake, whatever you want to call him, Kevin Durant. Russell Westbrook really was taking a passive-aggressive shot at Kevin Durant. Durant is famous for being known as a hypersensitive person. He's thin-skinned. And he is a consumer of all mass media and social media. He's got rabbit ears. It's a disease. He doesn't hide it. Like, Westbrook's trying to hide it. And unlike Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant is very public with his neurosis. He claps back against these people. He's got this insecurity. And he often reacts, let's say, disproportionately. He does irrational things like get into tiffs with teenagers on social media, or his latest masterpiece, his rant against the New York Knicks rumor that was making the rounds and complaining and all that stuff. He just wants to play basketball, blah, blah, blah. Of course, he's reading every comment about him on Twitter and responding. So this is a way for Russell Westbrook, without doing it right to your face, to say, hey, I'm not doing this. You know, Kevin Durant might be hyperventilating in Oakland, but I'm not doing that. And he gets to use the media to carry his water to troll Kevin Durant. And by the way, who is really throwing darts? Who is the one throwing darts at Russell Westbrook? You know, other than me, who are they? I don't know who these people are. I mean, we have pointed out how he is undisciplined, especially late in games, takes bad shots, forces passes, plays like an out-of-control 18-wheeler where the brakes have given out. He's shooting horrifically bad, horrifically bad. He's 41% from the floor, 24% from three-point range. He is among the worst of the worst, the bottom 1% of shooters in the NBA. This season, Westbrook is not among the top 40 players in player efficiency rating, despite averaging a triple-double, which seems impossible to do. He's shooting 41% as a volume shooter for Oklahoma City, and he's 111th in that category from the floor. 111th from the floor. His contemporaries are Cavaliers rookie Colin Sexton, Atlanta Hawks rookie Trae Young, and journeyman guard Ricky Rubio are all shooting right around the area where Russell Westbrook is from the floor. And from three-point range, he's not among the top 141 players that are ranked, and that's where the list cuts off. Westbrook, when it comes to turnovers, there are 501 players in the NBA that are ranked in the turnover category. And Russell Westbrook is ranked 499th out of 501 players in terms of turnover. But these are not things that are brought up with the mainstream. I'm a loser in the middle of the night that points this stuff out. And Russell Westbrook is pretty much celebrated. He's canonized by some because of the triple-doubles. And many in the mainstream media love to rhapsodize about how wonderful Westbrook is. They gush. They're very enthusiastic. They write these long love notes on blogs and social media posts. Statistical dominance by Russell Westbrook. Rarely do they mention the things that I just brought up, and maybe I'm missing something, but I don't believe I am. All right, last thing here. Now, athletes universally like to use perceived bias against them. They usually cook it up if it's not their media criticism to fuel their performance. You know, my favorite example of this was the Golden State Warriors, who have everyone's been picking since they got Durant to win every year, and they get there and it's like, well, nobody thought we could overcome the adversity. I love that. Guess what? There are obstacles no matter what you do. There are obstacles no matter what you do. But adversity. Adversity is when you have no money in the bank, you've lost your job, you have a car payment, and your rent is due, and you need to eat, and you have no money. That is adversity. Losing a basketball game in a playoff series, probably not adversity. I know for NBA players, oh my God, it's brutal. Now, that being said, I have been very clear. The whole billboard or bulletin board material thing, I am not a believer in that stuff. It's individual criticism. But you look at like Tom Brady and Michael Jordan. Criticism is motivation. Brady said just a couple of days ago, really, that he cringes when people call him the GOAT because he's probably met goats in Brazil, and he knows how disgusting they are and how much they smell. He's like, don't call me a goat. It's horrible. They never take showers. He'd rather be told he's old and he sucks. And of course, if he had said, call me the GOAT, I am the GOAT, he would be Mr. Douchey McDouche if he had said that. So, it's the bulletin board thing as a team. Like somebody calls you out and then you win the game because of that. That's only brought up when the team wins the game. It's not brought up when they lose the game. There's plenty of examples of teams that were called out with bulletin board material, and they didn't win the game. They did not win the game. By the way, I can prove that Russell Westbrook is lying, and you can do it too. You can do it too. Now, Russell Westbrook, again, this whole Maller monologue was based on the quote. We played the quote where Russell Westbrook says that since he's eight years old, he has been blessed with the talent to not give an F. Okay. What is my evidence? The Google machine. Right? I went back and looked because I remember doing some past Maller monologues about Russell Westbrook, and I recall Russell Westbrook getting a little testy. I know he got testy with Utah Jazz fans. I know he got testy with those that criticized his initial triple-double season. And guess what? Guess what? There are thousands of stories on the internet where Russell Westbrook, here's one headline, Russell Westbrook fires back at critics who say he stat pads. That was in 2017. There's another story in 2018, and you can go back further and further and further, but again, Russell Westbrook says, by the way, I don't hear the noise. We say hello to Edmund Dallas Steamboat Willie. Judas, solid goal, the Garcia. This has been called, Eddie, your Willis Reed game, your flu game, that you have been able to overcome the adversity, Eddie,
yeah,
of doing a show with a broken microphone.
Well, we have an update on that.
We do.
On that situation.
Right. Is engineering coming in to fix it? That's what's happening, right?
No.
They're coming in middle of the night?
No, they don't. No. They don't come in during these hours unless there's some sort of catastrophe with the network.
If Colin Cowherd's microphone broke, over under on how many iHeartMedia engineers would run to fix his microphone.
It would be like a pit crew in NASCAR.
Exactly.
Running in to fix it.
Don't touch it, Colin. Don't touch it. We will fix it.
We'll be right there, Mr. Cowherd.
Almighty Cowherd, we will save your microphone.
So I had to improvise because I didn't want to, hold on to the mic you know, the entire night. So we have like this Costco-sized container of Lysol disinfectant wipes.
Because people are disgusting here. People are absolutely disgusting.
You know, sometimes people are sick and you're sharing a workspace. You know, they'll wipe off the keyboard and the buttons we have to push. They try and keep people from getting sick.
I'm
in full favor of that.
I'm not in favor because I get sick. And this used to be a guy years ago named Canadian Mike that worked here. And guy would spray that Lysol spray over, and I would be coughing.
Yeah, Jonas Knox does that as well.
I can't stand it.
Yeah, that's the thing. I placed it underneath the microphone. I put a picture out there on Twitter.
Yeah.
And it worked perfectly. I mean, it was right the right level that I need the microphone, all that kind of stuff.
You're good.
But the problem is there's like chemicals in there.
Yeah.
And me, you know, having my face right next to the canister of the chemicals. I've moved it now, as Iowa Sam. I had to move it because I was getting kind of lightheaded.
Come on. Don't be a Mr. Softhead. Think of the lawsuit. You get some kind of illness, you could sue the company.
I had to remove it, so I'm going to have to try something else.
Okay.
Yeah.
Godspeed, Eddie.
My sinuses, though, are cleared out.
Thoughts and prayers.
That's, you know.
That's good.
Yeah.
Does sound like positive. Your nose is running a little bit, though. Are you okay?
I'm good. Well, like I said, lightheaded, but you know, maybe that'll help my performance. Who knows?
I got you. All right, let's say hello. Let's go to the phones. Whoopi Pie Blair is in Maine. Hello, Whoopi Pie Blair.
I just got done shoveling 8 to 10 inches of snow, and I'm not lying to you. I really did. I shoveled enough so my mom can get out of the driveway. Then I shoveled quite a bit so we can actually get the mail tomorrow. And the mailman can deliver the mail.
Well, what if it snows overnight, though? What if it snows the rest of the night?
It's not going to snow overnight.
How do you know that? You're not a weatherman. You don't know that.
Well, because I asked Google, and he says it's not going to snow tomorrow. It's going to be cloudy.
Yeah. Well, sometimes there's a surprise flurry that could take place.
You're bad to the bone.
That's a drop.
Not your nickname.
That's a drop.
Bad to
Coop,
the bone.
Make sure that's a drop, Coop. We need that as a drop. Bad to the bone. Bad to like your phone calls. Now, Blair, I took the other night. Tell Uncle Eddie what happened the other night on EEI when I was doing the show over there. Remember, you called in, you started singing like a lunatic, and I was bombarded with people. Never put Blair on again. Men and women united as one, hating you, Blair. They couldn't stand you.
Yeah. We are the Patriots. Don't forget the Patriots. We are the champions.
Hard to believe they didn't like that.
Of the world.
But you're an Eagle fan.
Like that, but I'm good.
You're an Eagle fan. You like the Eagles.
No.
Fly, Eagles, fly on the road to victory. Come on.
Nope.
Yep.
Nope.
Don't lie. You're an Eagles fan.
Bah. Tom Brady, another year, 7 rings. We're going to get our 7 rings. It's happening this year. You know it. All of our best players are coming back.
You only get 1 ring.
Our best players are coming back.
You were in California for the first five of those championships.
Ben, you are a knucklehead. You are bad to the bone, and you are a knucklehead.
That's not very nice. That's hurtful. Why would you be so hurtful? Why would you be so hurtful?
You're a knucklehead.
How many calls have you made to sports radio today? You've already called me
once. Is he still
once.
Banned from the other show?
Yeah, you banned from the Jab?
Hey, Eddie.
Yeah,
Eddie.
Yeah.
How's your Kings doing? What place are they in?
Why are you trying to deflect, Whoopi Pie Blair? Yeah, are you still banned from a radio show because
in Maine, in Portland,
you tried to get
Maine.
Some guy fired?
Does it matter?
It does matter.
Does it really matter?
It does matter because we're on that station.
It really matters.
You're circumventing the suspension.
I guess that's a yes.
We got Eddie that's a Kings fan and likes the Steelers. Well, where is that going to end up? I don't know where the Kings are. Hey, Google, what place are the Kings in?
Google says shut up, Blair.
You're eighth in the division. Ha ha. You're eighth. You're just as bad as the Anaheim Ducks are, even though they won by 1 goal tonight.
Is this hockey trash talk? This is hockey trash talk.
It's hurtful is what it is. It's very hurtful. Uh-huh.
Eddie's going to need meds and therapy because of you.
And the Pittsburgh Steelers are how bad, Eddie? My God.
You're piling on.
They didn't make it to the Super Bowl, but they beat San Diego.
Blair, who's your favorite team going to be next year, Blair?
The LA Chargers, actually.
The LA Chargers is going to be your favorite team next year?
Hey, Blair, can you count to 10?
Congrats on that one, Eddie.
Can you count to 10, Blair? Count to 10 right now. Go
ahead. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
No, Couldn't do it. Wasn't able to count to 10. It's unfortunate. Man. Hate when that happens. Phone disconnected.
Blair is vicious. He's vicious.
Yeah, I'm hurt, Eddie. I am devastated. I am. I'm absolutely devastated.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific. It's Maller.
How about that?
To the third degree.
Woo-hoo!
This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
I'm not ready, Coop. I'm not ready. All right, we'll do it.
You stuck to your guns yesterday saying that you don't believe the Steelers will trade Antonio Brown, but yeah, Saints wide receiver Michael Thomas, a friend of the show, Michael Thomas.
Sort of.
Sure.
Yeah. Thinks that if they do trade Antonio Brown, that the Steelers will be in trouble. Does the team take a big step back with him gone, Ben?
All right, so here's how I'm going to answer this. It is complicated. Number one, the Steelers didn't make the playoffs last year, so it's hard to say they're going to take a big step back when they already didn't make the playoffs. But if you trade Antonio Brown, right, you're definitely not going to make the playoffs in 2019. The franchise is going to end up spinning their wheels here. And as we talked about earlier, Antonio Brown is the only player in the history of football with six consecutive 100-yard seasons. You don't give that up for some draft picks, a second and third-round pick. And number two, the Ravens, you look at the division, the Ravens have a pretty good defense. They've got no offense. The Browns have improved with Kareem Hunt. The Bengals are an easy mark. But if you do the math, the AFC North has gotten better. The Steelers, if they get rid of Antonio Brown, will get worse. So it's a huge mistake. Next.
Now, some people out there actually think that Cliff Kingsbury yeah, might take Kyler Murray with the number one pick.
No chance.
But if Vance Joseph's comments yesterday tell us anything, it's that he'd prefer a defensive player. Ben, how many many mock drafts have Nick Bosa going number one? What do you think?
Well, you know, I am the Kuiper of Fox with my draft analysis.
No!
We have similar hair. Being the draft wonk that I am. Yeah, Joey Bosa's in the pole position for the first pick.
Nick.
Or did I say Joey? Yeah. It's his brother. Yeah, Nick Bosa. But hey, I mean, there are no great quarterbacks in this draft. You've got Dwayne Haskins, who's a project, not ready for prime time. And it's so bad that a guy the size of Mighty Mouse, Kyler Murray, some think is a guy that would be a first-round pick. He's like a mini-sized candy bar. He's fun size, right? So, yeah, I'll go with Bosa. And B, you would think the gluttony of offense in the NFL, teams would just draft defensive. They wouldn't draft defensive players because you need offense. The defense has been marginalized, but it looks like this is going to be a defensive-heavy draft in the first round. A lot of defensive tackles, defensive ends, guys like that. And we'll see what happens next week at the Cattle Call. But, yeah, I agree. I believe it's going to be Nick Bosa. All right, next.
Ben, with top draft prospect Jeffrey Simmons going down with a torn ACL during a pre-draft workout.
Tragic.
Many are suggesting that top prospects are better served to avoid all pre-draft activities and rest on their college accomplishments. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think they should also avoid breathing because you could die. You could breathe in some bad oxygen. No, it's ridiculous. I mean, this is overprotective parenting. It's absurd. Right, we've already got guys in recent years skipping bowl games. Now they shouldn't work out to get ready for the combine. How about, you know, they shouldn't do anything, right? Just sit down on a couch after high school. How about you do that? You don't want to risk injury. It's a bad break, number two, for this guy Simmons. But that happens. That's buzzer's luck. You can't avoid it. You can't live in a bubble. There we go, Coop. How'd we do?
You failed this edition.
I won it. That's a win. That's because of Flacco. I won.
You're bad as a bone.
Good day, sir. I am bad. Yeah.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live. It's now time for.
Well, hurry, I can hardly wait.
Ask Ben.
Twitter!
Send us your questions on Twitter now.
And it is Ask Ben. Your questions are answers for the rest of the hour, celebrating Valentine's Day. When you think of love, when you think of romance, you think of overnight sports talk radio. David in Pennsylvania writes in, and before we get going with Ask Ben, he recommends, because it's Valentine's Day and Roberto is not here, instead of romance with Roberto, we do sex with Sam. How about that, Sam? You want to do that? Sex with Sam? Would that be good? Yes? Big bit here. That's from our friend David. He's a very nice man in Pennsylvania. He sent us all kinds of cool stuff over the years. And we found out how many listeners we have in Des Moines, Iowa. Because every one of them just about has gotten on Twitter and said, hey, stupid, it's KXNO 1460 Des Moines. It's KXNO 1460 Des Moines, the proud home.
You said 1430, right?
I was close.
You're pretty close.
Like, if you get to 1430, you probably then find 1460.
It'll just jump up to 1460.
Yeah,
exactly,
I wasn't
yeah.
far off.
Yeah.
Like, I was in the ballpark. Like I said, all, the whole point of the show, Sam, to be close. To be close.
Close is good.
Fluffy Dave says, Iowa is the worst state ever to drive through.
I
just
saw that.
Endless nothing. Iowa blows. Sorry, Sam. Your response, your rebuttal.
I just defended Minneapolis and the state of Minnesota, and here he goes, trashing my state. Thanks a lot.
All right. We're getting
our dirt is better than yours,
yeah.
Fluffy Dave.
Yeah, guy's name Fluffy Dave. Come on. And Matthew's a... We got a lot of love from Maine as well. All right, Kubaloo, what do we have? It's Ask Ben. Your questions, our answers.
All right, Ben, we're going to start off with a question for you.
All right, very exciting, as it should be.
This is from David on Facebook.
Hello, David.
This is specifically for you, Ben.
All right.
What's the best way for a broke single guy to get laid on Valentine's Day?
Let's see. Now, I never got laid on Valentine's Day because I was had no luck. But my move, I've told you my move here. And I got to say this again, Coop. It's the most savvy thing. What you do is if you're dating a girl, okay, you're kind of casually dating. What you do is you say, my God, I got to work on Valentine's Day. I'm so upset. But I want to take you out like the next day, okay? I want to take you out the next day. Then what you do is you go to the store, okay? The day after Valentine's Day, all those stupid box chocolates are on sale. All those flower things are on. Everything's on sale. You save 50%. And then you're still like the conquering hero because you got all the stupid candies and the flowers and all that crap. Or you can go to the dollar store and get some of that stuff too. That's my move. And maybe she'll, you know, hook you up or whatever. Take care of you. Make you feel good. All right, next.
All right, here's a question for everybody.
Okay.
This is from Casey on Facebook.
Hi, Casey. Casey at the bat.
You're at a wing place like B-Dubs. What's your go-to flavor of wings?
Yeah, I like that. So Buffalo Wild Wings, which is, are they still across the street, right? There's still one over there?
Yeah.
I don't hang out in this neighborhood, but I can't afford it. But I like a teriyaki barbecue kind of marinade. I like that. I like trying some of the different stuff. Anything with garlic in it, I'll try that. I like to sample a couple different things, but I always go teriyaki, some kind of teriyaki barbecue thing. What about you, Eddie?
I'm like a honey barbecue, something
like
that.
That's not bad. That's the most popular one, honey barbecue.
Yeah. I'm a traditionalist.
Iowa Sam?
I like a good like garlic parmesan or a medium.
A little spicy though. The one at Buffalo Wild Wings.
The parmesan?
There's a little kick to it.
That's like in the green area on the heat chart.
No, not the one. That must not be the one I'm thinking of. There's one with garlic in it that's got
the spicy garlic.
I'll do spicy garlic or
The spicy garlic is the flavor to get. Nothing comes close.
Right. Now you're going
to
push. Oh, hey, really going to fight me on that, Mr. Flacco?
You know, Ben, wings are a great low-carb meal. Did you know that? They're actually, if you're on like a keto diet or something, you can eat as many wings as you want because they're low-carb.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm not on a keto diet. I'm on the intermittent fasting diet.
Ben gets the boneless wings. You know,
I get the chicken.
That's right. That's a whole other story.
Because I've seen chickens and they don't have fingers. They have wings, mm-hmm. but I like their fingers anyway.
Mm-hmm. Foul tips.
Let's keep it going. Ask Ben your... We said no puns. You know, puns are fun. All right, let's keep it going here. It's Ask Ben your questions, our answers.
All right, there's actually a good one here from Justin in Cincinnati.
Glad you saved it for now. Okay.
This is for everybody on the crew.
Hi, Justin.
Do you think Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone or was it a conspiracy?
All right, now this is something, I have a lot of friends that are of the age where this is a very important life event, and I have listened to these people debate at sporting events over the years in press rooms before games. I do not believe he acted alone. I believe there was a second shooter. I have not been to the grassy knoll, but I believe there was a second shooter there, and it was a government cover-up, deep state cover-up. It was an assassination. There were multiple people involved. And they've muddied the waters so much, you don't even know what to believe. What about you, Eddie?
Well, I am normally not a conspiracy guy. As a matter of fact, I hate most conspiracy theories.
What about the cold envelope for Patrick Ewing? Do you believe that?
However, I do not believe Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone.
Oh, my God! Eddie's in on the conspiracy.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, we agree. Did your dad used to talk about this and stuff? And
never.
Never, really?
No, never talked about
okay.
it.
Okay.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
This was like a huge life event for so many people. This was a big defining moment in their lives. When
everyone knows where they were
exactly.
when they heard.
It's like our 9/11, Eddie. We all remember where we were. I say that now. That's 20 years ago almost. Some people, younger people, weren't even around. All right. What about you, Iowa Sam?
Do I believe it is a
yes.
more than Lee Harvey? I do, just be it based on the way the bullet entered JFK's body and all the various ricochets head. And
yeah. magic.
It did. It hit him in the head. I'm sorry. I meant to. Yeah, his head. But he also a guy got shot in the back, and there's all kinds of weird stuff going on. I do believe there is another person involved.
What about
another
you,
shooter?
100%. 100%. It was a conspiracy.
Confirmed. There you go.
Just cover like the moon landing.
Okay.
Shut up. How dare you? Flacco. Wow. Flacco. Flacco.
Shut up. this is for everyone. This is from the little troller.
Hi, little troller.
Everyone besides Iowa Sam.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
Have any of you driven or rode in a combine tractor?
No. I've not. Eddie?
No, and I'm from the agricultural
land,
heartland
yes.
there in Central California. I've been on farms. I've seen cattle.
That's the cow's
so
toilet
on and
right
so
there.
Forth. Yeah. And walked through orange groves as a kid, played in orange groves.
Well, I did
groves.
That too. I used to play in orange groves. And
down in the OC, you're right. There were orange
Back
groves.
Back when I was a kid, they used to have orange groves.
Right.
Yeah, I'm old.
But no, never ridden a tractor or anything like that.
So Iowa Sam's out. What about you, Kubaloo?
I guess they just assume that Sam has it.
Yeah, you assume, but actually I've never been inside of a combine before.
Yeah, Iowa Sam's from the big city there. They have three buildings. He's from the big city.
70,000 people.
I don't know what a combine tractor is.
You know there's 70,000 people on this street we're on right now? Yeah, go ahead.
Exactly.
Go, yeah.
But I've been on like a normal tractor. I don't know what the
combine's a harvester.
Were you playing a farmer's kid or something in a movie? Or?
No, I mean, sometimes you went on, like, tractor rides at the pumpkin patch.
Oh, in the pumpkin patch.
Yeah. But
do you ever ride a
aren't
camel?
Aren't you in, like, the trailer that's being pulled? You're not, like, in the on the tractor, though, right?
Yeah, I guess that's a fair point.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right. That's it. I think we're out of time, Cooper. It was a tremendous addition.
We'll ask one quick one. Milkman from Colorado on Twitter. What South Park character would best represent you?
Well, I think we all know which one would represent the fat one. What, Cartman? What about you, Eddie?
I'm a nice guy, so I wouldn't be Cartman. I don't know, Kyle.
Kyle, Sam. Hurry up,
whoever the teacher is.
Because drugs are bad.
Cool. Kyle, for sure.
Kyle. All right, there you go. I'm out. See you later, everybody. I'm done. Yeah.